No sooner does former Vice President Dick Cheney complain about the way the Obama administration is handling terrorism than we find out U.S. and Pakistani forces have captured a top Taliban commander in Afghanistan. It's about time for the right wing to support our country and shut up. Common sense begins in 1 minute.
Check it out. Gas prices blowing up sky high. Ditch my used subcompact for a two-wheeled ride. Now I'm rolling eco-friendly, but I still look bad. When the bike store saw my credit, they said this was all they had. I'm singing F to the R to the E to the E to the C to the R to the E D I T. Free to the port to the dot to the com. Come on, everybody, grab your bike and sing along. It's easy. F to the R.
Aqua applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Jim Alger, and this is Common Sense.
Oh, say can you see?
Why do the Republicans hate America?
Their only play right now at Congress is to hope the Democratic Party fails.
The airport experience is an abomination. And the airlines, for example, have capitalized on our fear and on our worries.
America comes in 37th in terms of the quality of care and its affordability.
I can't afford health care, you know, as it stands.
I just want to say Congressman King is an idiot.
It's not even us in the U.S. It's us in China now.
It's us in China.
It's going to be us, Russia, and China.
I don't know why in the world we would have anybody like this as a congressman to make such a blatant, idiotic statement.
Oh, please, Mayor Antonio, please shut up. Don't say anything. Just be quiet.
The insurance industry has been accused of running a shadow campaign here, pretending to cooperate on one hand, and yet funding the kind of accusations that we hear coming up in the mainstream media while disavowing and washing their hands of it.
We are in the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
The buzzword of the day is not torture. The buzzword of the day is enhanced interrogation techniques.
Can we just agree to call it torture?
Phone lines are open from Washington, D.C., 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514. From the rest of the United States, you can reach us at 415-762-1161. That's 415-762-1161. If you are joining us this evening from the United Kingdom, good morning to you. 020-3286-6728. 020-3286-6728 to speak with us live here in the studio.
The biggest strategic threat the United States faces today is the possibility of another 9/11 with a nuclear weapon or a biological agent of some kind. And I think Al-Qaeda is out there even as we meet trying to figure out how to do that. If the mindset is it's not likely, then it's difficult to mobilize the resources and get people to give it the kind of priority that it deserves.
Another week of terrorizing the American people from former Vice President Dick Cheney, who never missed a chance to play the fear card while he was in office. It seems as if 9/11 is a gift that keeps on giving for these folks.
I think, in fact, the situation with respect to Al-Qaeda to say that, you know, that was a big attack we had on 9/11, but it's not likely again, I just think that's dead wrong.
Except this time, something different happened. The Democrats trotted out a vice president of their own.
The reason why I do not think it's likely is because of all the resources we have put on this, considerably more than the last administration did, to see to it that it will not happen.
For months now, the mantra from the right has been, we need to try suspected terrorists such as the Christmas Day bomber in a military tribunal and not a civilian court. Vice President Biden served up a little inconvenient truth.
Under the Bush administration, there were three trials in military courts. Two of those people are now walking the streets. They are free. There were 300 trials of so-called terrorists and those who engage in terror against the United States of America who are in federal prison and have not seen the light of day, prosecuted under the last administration. Dick Cheney's a fine fella. but he is not entitled to rewrite history. I don't know where he has been. Where was he the last 4 years, the last administration?
And then some well-timed news out of Afghanistan with even more of an inconvenient truth, if you will, to those who insist on criticizing the Obama administration's handling of the war.
The major advance in one of the two wars our nation is fighting, the Taliban's top military commander has been captured.
Oh, hell, doesn't that just go against the weak on terror narrative the GOP and Cheney have been trying to sow? It sure does seem like it does, in my opinion, because Cheney has been at it, beating the mantra and beating the drums for quite some time about how this administration's weak on terror, they can't handle it, they don't own it. They are treating the war as if it's a law enforcement problem, and it seems like we're doing it, you know, we're actually doing a pretty good job on both fronts. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong there, Jeff. I think that the operation that's currently going on in Afghanistan at the minute, I think it's well planned out, it's well prepared, they're well equipped. It's been on the news a lot here because the British are in one area with so many Afghan troops, and the Americans are in another area, and they're quite close together. So, I think you're not wrong there.
Well, this is what I want to know. It seems like this hang up with Dick and Liz, you know, that it's really all about waterboarding. I mean, that's all you hear about is, well, they have to use all the techniques available to them, and, you know, that implies, yes, we want waterboarding, more water everywhere. And it didn't work. Right, but that just seems to be their mental hang-up that they... You know, do they think that if we brought waterboarding back on, that not only whether you use it or not, but that that's the main thing that is causing them to say that the Obama administration is not being tough? And they, you know, I mean, I've not read anything that they've given specifics about. It's just this notion that somehow we don't have all the arrows in our quiver.
They don't give specifics. What they do is they make these straw man arguments that they're not being tough on terrorism, they really prey on people who don't know any better. I say all the time that Americans, this is a stupid country. It is a stupid country. I'm sorry, Bill Maher's right. It is a stupid country. We vote for people for the dumbest of reasons. And when people say, well, I agree with putting these guys into military tribunals. But, of course, they missed the part that two out of three of the military tribunals ended in the people walking away.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I mean, honestly, from my perspective, having not delved in it until you and I talked, right, was, oh, my gosh, we cannot put these people into the civilian courts because they're going to lawyer up and they're just going to get to walk and da-da-da-da-da.
Okay, I mean, take the Christmas bomber, Gen Z. Take the Christmas bomber. This guy tried to blow up an airplane filled with people. Is there any doubt that he's going to get convicted in a civilian court? Any doubt at all?
No.
The mastermind of 9/11 proudly proclaimed he did it.
That things like the O.J. Simpson and stuff like that, these big media circus cases where everybody knew the man was guilty, but he got off, that people are worrying that these terrorists are going to hire, you know, the Johnny Cochran of the ages, and they're going to hold a pair of tidy whities up and says, you know, if the undies don't fit, you got to acquit, you know?
Well, here's the problem. Okay, first of all, and I don't want to go down this bunny trail too far.
Oh, I know.
But the jury in the O.J. Simpson trial had no place else to go but to acquit. When your evidence is a police officer who lies in the stand multiple times, evidence that should have been checked in but wasn't, but was kept in the pocket of the cop that got caught lying on the stand multiple times for a weekend, when you've got the time of death based on the time that a dog was barking and not –
based on the stomach contents, which disappeared from two different morgues from two different victims, you've got a problem. So most people, however, didn't watch the trial gavel to gavel.
No.
They watched the sound bites that were on the evening news.
They watched Nancy Grace, one of your faves.
Oh, God. There's someone I could find getting waterboarded. My beef with Nancy Grace is very simple. It's that she prejudges everyone. And there's no innocence until proven guilty with her. But we're talking about federal courts, not podunk state courts. We're talking about federal courts. Where on earth have federal courts completely screwed the pooch? They took care of Timothy McVeigh just fine.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem other than the GOP saying no just for the sake of saying no. The Bush administration prosecuted 300 successful prosecutions against terror suspects under that administration. I didn't see John Boehner down there screaming and yelling, hooting and hollering for military tribunals. Oh, and let's not forget the small little tiny detail of the one guy they tried to try in a military tribunal, which was Padilla. They declared him an enemy combatant. And this little pesky thing called the United States Supreme Court ruled that it was, help me out here, what's the opposite of unconstitutional. They don't want to tell the American people that. They just want the right wing, or who that they perceive to be the right wing, the Republicans. They want the Republicans to run to the right and just hate everything that Barack Obama and or the Democrats do. And we're going to talk next segment about this notion that if the election were held today, Barack Obama would lose.
If the election were held today, everybody would be surprised because it's usually held on election day.
But there is a truth here, and the truth is that if the election were held, there's a truth here. And the truth, you know what, guys? We're off to a great start. The reality is that if the election were held today, not only would Barack Obama win, he'd win by a larger margin than he beat John McCain.
Well, Sarah Palin certainly wouldn't win.
Sarah Palin is unqualified to hold public office. That's not to say that all Republicans are, because I truly believe that the GOP will get their act together once they stop worshiping at the altar of Sister Sarah. They're going to find somebody, and the Democrats who think they're not are seriously mistaken. They're going to find somebody. Hopefully it's not Giuliani or Palin. I say hopefully not from you know what? I would take you sooner than I would either of those two.
You know what, Jim C., I'd vote for you if I could.
Hey!
That's not saying much. And I know I'm going to get a peanut gallery here from Massachusetts is going to chime in here in a moment because I see little things happening on my screen. But it's clear to me that two things are taking place. One is that the Democrats are in a process right now of fighting back. And this is energizing the Democratic base. And this is deadly for the Republican Party because we saw it with Barack Obama at the Republican luncheon where he took on 140 congressmen and beat them all by any one stretch, so bad that Fox News cut away from the live feed. And now we're seeing that when Dick Cheney gets out and decides he's going to say something stupid, the Democrats are going to roll out Vice President Biden or someone else to try and counter that with sometimes something more stupid, but usually a good counter argument. When Paul Brennan went up this past weekend and said that the recidivism rate out of Guantanamo was 1 in 5, and he made a comment that's about 20%. It's better than what we have in the United States in our criminal justice system. Former Vice President Cheney took that as evidence that the Obama administration sees this entirely as a law enforcement issue. I think there's a legitimate debate to be had as to whether or not these people should be tried in a court or not. However, the reason I fall down on the side of a court is because the courts have worked. And that's all that has ever worked. I don't know. Am I wrong on that?
No. No, I just, you know, I think Dick Cheney is going rogue
lost
himself.
His mind.
Well, yeah. But, you know, who is he getting permission from anyone to yammer on like this?
I doubt it. Remember, a lot of these arguments were arguments he actually made when he was in the Bush administration. He got outvoted by Bush's people. After 2006, when the Republicans lost Congress, Bush really kind of torqued down the screws and apparently threw Dick Cheney into an undisclosed location. We're going to have fun with Seth again this weekend. Oh, damn, he got me on that one. I was going to say, we're going to have fun with Seth again this weekend for not having commercials queued up, but apparently he's ready to go. So we'll be back in 2 minutes.
As a parent myself, I can tell you that you can't help but look at your child and wonder what the future holds. You may dream about the possibility of your son or daughter becoming a professional athlete or renowned heart surgeon. But while you're dreaming, consider this. The odds that your child will be diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166. Knowing the signs of autism and catching it early would make a world of difference to your child and to you. To learn the signs, visit AutismSpeaks.org. This message brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 8. A corporation that makes billions in profits should not stick taxpayers with the bill for their employee benefits. Walmart's record profits have made the Walton family the richest in America. But because they fail to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 workers, taxpayers shell out billions for government care. Why should taxpayers bail out a corporation making record profits? Walmart can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect. The politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here.
Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger. www.getcommonsenseradio.com. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511.
One of the things that I enjoy listening to whenever the president's poll numbers begin to slip a little bit below 50% as we start to hear how much trouble he's in, and we never hear about how good he's doing when they go over 50%. And, of course, we're not hearing much about poll numbers these days, and that's because the president's at 52%. While his disapproval rating is all the way down to 41. I'm here to tell you that he wins the election with these numbers, guys. He wins the election, realistically speaking, if his poll numbers are 45 or better. He wins the election. And the reason for that is because the President of the United States always does better when he's talking. And when he's not talking and people are hitting him, the numbers go down. As soon as he responds, the numbers go back up. So it is very interesting to see where the president sits on the job numbers, on a state-by-state basis. And when we look at where he's at, he's not below 42% in any of the 50 states. In fact, that's where he sits at his lowest. And of course, you're going to see that in the southern states. So.
I'm just asking what poll numbers you're looking at.
Gallup.
Okay. Well, I was just looking at Real Clear Politics poll averages, and it doesn't have if he you know, if the election were today numbers, but it has, you know, his job approval rating, approve is 47.8, disapprove 45.9. Of course, the congressional job approval rating is like 73% disapprove, so I don't...
Yeah, but that's always a bogus number. I've never believed that. The congressional disapproval number is such BS.
Because people vote back in. Yeah, they voted back in.
See, with the congressional job approval ratings, there's like 535 senators and congressmen. You're never going to get everybody to approve of what every single congressman and senator is doing.
Right.
Well,
impossible.
Well, more than that, and Gallup I trust because they do the 3-day rolling out average. Now, Real Clear Politics is not a bad one either because they put a bunch of them together. But unfortunately, if you take the outliers that are run by Fox News and that nonsense, you can really get yourself in trouble. When you look at the lowest 10 states of his approval rating, the lowest state that he has. The lowest number that Barack has in all 50 states is in Wyoming at 41.6. His next one up is 43.3 in Idaho. Now, he's not winning these states anyway. 45.9 in West Virginia. 46 in Alaska. 47.8 in Utah. Now you're getting into able to win the election territory. 48 in Oklahoma. 49 in Alabama. 49.2 in Arkansas. There's the bottom of the barrel. When you're polling a Democratic president at 49% job approval in Alabama, if I was running the GOP's campaign, I don't know how to beat that. Because they already know he's black, so that's not going to work.
What?
Well, you didn't know? Have you not seen the TV?
No, wait, the recession's gotten really tough here in our household. I had to stop paying for cable.
Nah, hate to break it to you, but the president's black.
And I'm also colorblind, so.
It tends to tick a lot of people off, but he really is. But in all seriousness, when you look at the bottom 10 of those numbers, the bottom 10 states, Wyoming, red state, Idaho, red state, West Virginia, red state, Alaska, red state, Utah, red state, Oklahoma, red state, Montana, red state, Alabama, red state, Arkansas, red state, Louisiana at 50% blue state. He doesn't lose the election. No matter how you slice it, guys, he doesn't lose the election. So I don't, for the life of me, understand. And then you look at ridiculous numbers like District of, well, we'll go down the blue state side. District of Columbia, 90.2%. Hawaii, 70.8. These are unrealistic. These are outliers. Maryland, 68.5. Vermont, 67.7. Massachusetts, 66.8. Connecticut, 66.7. That's where Chris Dodd's having all of his trouble. Massachusetts, where Scott Brown just got elected, the president's polling at pretty the upwards of 70%. Rhode Island, 66.6. Illinois, of course, 65.2. I say of course, but that's his home state. California, 63.7. I'm telling you, with numbers like this, you don't lose the election.
CNN just released their a friend of mine, thank you, Jeff, just emailed me the CNN opinion research poll that was done February 12th through 15th, 2010. It was just released this afternoon, and it showed president's approval numbers at 49%, disapproval at 50%. That has about stayed relatively the same for quite a while.
Where is that number coming from?
The CNN opinion research poll done by the Opinion Research Corporation on February 12th through 15th of this year. It was released today at 12:30 p.m. And it's got, if, of all respondents, if you would, if elections were held today, which party's candidate would you vote for in your congressional district? And it was tied 46% to 46% Democrat to Republican.
Well, FYI, 46%, whoever is in power wins.
Yes.
That's just the way the numbers fall.
Right.
At 46%, and the reason for that is, once again, what we were just explaining. The Democrats, for the most part, have not been responding in a forceful way until recently against the Republican pushes against health care. The Republican Party is still screaming we're going too fast on health reform. I've never seen in my life a bill debated so publicly for so long, but we're taking our time with health reform. Now, Massachusetts was a complete outlier. They had a candidate there who wasn't worth a hill of beans. The Democrats should be embarrassed for running that candidate. I can tell you right now, Scott Brown will not be reelected, but that's beside the point. Martha Coakley was an embarrassment of the Democratic Party. She didn't understand the issues of local politics, and the Democrats rested their so-called 60 hope on the one state in the country that doesn't need health reform. So you've got a guy in Scott Brown who has now publicly stated that he's going to Washington to block the President of the United States. To hell with the fact that 43,000 Americans every single year die from no health care. We don't care because in Massachusetts we have it. Now my argument about that is that while the other 49 states can be upset with Scott Brown, and while every other American can be upset with Scott Brown, Scott Brown's not your senator. Scott Brown is a senator from the state of Massachusetts. If the people of the state of Massachusetts want him, and as long as he's representing their will, that's what he's supposed to do. It's not up for me in California or someone else in Oregon to be upset with Scott Brown for doing something that we don't agree with, because he's not there to represent me. He's there to represent the people, the state he was elected to. You got a problem with that, take it up with the voters in Massachusetts.
I did notice, as an aside, I was looking further down this poll, they did ask the question, do you think, and this is from last week, do you think Barack Obama deserves to be reelected or not? And 44% says yes, he does. 52% said no, and 4% had no opinion.
I generally stick to Gallup because they've proven to me to be one of the most reliable poll company pollsters out there.
Go ahead. What you were just saying about Massachusetts and Scott Brown, but you know, I think that what happens in other elections in other states affects me because, yes, they're supposed to represent the will in essence. You know, they're supposed to represent their area, but they also cast a vote that affects my area, even though I'm not able to vote, you know, against them or
for
them.
That's what's wrong with democracy.
I mean, you know, I get tweets all the time during election season that I need to call so-and-so's office and tell them to vote no on this, that, or the other, or vote yes, you know, and they're not in my area.
Yeah, but I can tell you, as having both held office myself and worked in the office of the Senate, the one of the first things, I mean, there's some dirty secrets. We talked about this on the air before. There's some dirty secrets there. If you're not in our district, you go in a different pile. Because it's voters we care about. We have a system that we can look at, see if you actually vote, either whether you're registered to vote, and if you are registered to vote, if you actually bother to vote at all. And if you don't, as a senator, I'm going to pay less attention to you.
So they have a way to know if I voted in the last election and then if I voted for them or not?
No, not if you voted for them, but just if you voted at all.
Oh, really?
Now, yeah, of course. Because what? when you go to your polling place, you sign in.
I guess, but
so
it's always
when I'm
done
sending
in paper.
Mailers, yeah, but when I'm sending mailers out, I get a CD from the county recorder's office.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, Here's the dirty secrets, guys. This is what you want, what they don't want you to know. You know how come you get all these phone calls and robocalls and everything else? It's because you gave your phone number when you registered to vote.
Right, but like when I sign in at the polling place, it's on a piece of paper, and I don't know that I'm handed a ballot that connects my voter registration to my ballot.
We don't need to. What happens is that piece of paper that you signed goes back to the county recorder's office. They scan it. It checks off that you signed in that particular day, and it goes in your history as out of the last X number of elections.
Oh, I voted
many times.
Okay, gotcha.
So then I can look at, well, is she a registered Democrat or Republican? She's a registered Republican, and she votes in primaries. So
Yes. Therefore,
you know, and no, we don't all know this. I'm getting a couple of smart-ass comments from people out here, and they're saying, we all know this. No, they don't all know this. So when this information is taken, then you can, it allows someone like me who runs a campaign to dissect. Now, I've got people who go even crazier than that. They'll take a polling sample. Let's say we'll look at who the primary voters are, which are usually female. So you got female voters, and then we can dissect it down from there. What magazine subscriptions do you get? Does that mean you have children? Do I want to send a message to single females between 25 and 31 living in this particular area with an income of less than X dollars who went to school this way? Because according to my polling sample, this is how they're going to vote, and this is what's important to them. What's happened is the GOP has said that terrorism works, and that's why they go for the quote-unquote soccer mom made-up demographic. But
I'm a soccer mom in a literal sense.
In a literal sense?
Yeah, my son plays soccer. And I'm a mom.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is
you can micro demographic things.
And the bigger point here, you know, I was just asked, where are you going with this? The truth is, I usually don't know where I'm going with things before I say it. But when we look at the left versus the right dynamic in this country, most people aren't left or right. They're usually moderately in the middle. What I'm seeing happening is, well, I'm going to have some fun here in about 20 seconds. What I'm seeing happening here is that the GOP is trying to take this so-called moderate Republicans and shove them off.
Oh, they hate us.
Well, I know they hate, but they're trying to push off to the right, is what I meant to say. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 11. If a corporation makes record profits in this economy, they can afford to offer basic health coverage to their employees. Walmart makes $25,000 in profit every minute. Gave their CEO an $8 million bonus, but still refuses to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 employees, nearly half their workforce. America's largest corporation can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States.
From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511. 530-413-4511.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jency. And listen, we've been talking about voting and the poll numbers and kind of trying to understand a bit of that. We sort of went off into that tangent, but I think it's a nice segue into what I wanted to talk about here, Jim and Natalie. Did either of you ever get a trophy or a ribbon for just competing or participating in a sport? We were talking about soccer moms. Jim, did you do any of that?
Did I? Well, yes.
But when you participated, did you get, like, the ubiquitous trophy for participating?
I have.
Yeah. I think it's gotten a little bit. Obviously, it has gotten more pervasive over time. I remember one of my earliest memories in the first grade of school was that we learned to read in the first grade. Now, I've got a five-year-old in kindergarten, and they were learning to read back in preschool. So, you know, they were way ahead of the time, but the teacher was handing out these sets of flashcards to the students, to all of us kids, and if you mastered a set, you got the next set. And I remember at that time being just very competitive in understanding of my need to learn this.
Okay. I love when she just drops off like that. It's great. So it just would not be our show without technical difficulties. Would it? We'll get Jency's mic back up here in a second, but it's so funny because I thought it was about to drop off, and then she just went by. So, Seth, if you could get her back, I'd really appreciate it. And I have absolutely no idea where she was going with that. So this is what makes live radio so much fun, because now I get to sit here and talk about how our crap studio doesn't work right. Natalie, are you still here?
I'm still here, Jim.
Isn't this awesome? I love live radio because we can experience the fun. Now, your mic is screwing up a little bit, but I'll take a little bit screwed than not screwed at all. Okay, don't go anywhere with that one now. She was talking about getting an award or something, but you know what? I want to go, while we're waiting for her to get her act together, let me go to a different story.
How much did I talk? How much?
You're on the air now.
I know, but I don't know where I went off.
I don't know either. I wasn't paying attention to you.
Oh, gee, that's just the story of my. Anyway, okay. So I've rambled along the story of my life. Basically, this article is talking about how the millennial generation of kids are just not going to be prepared to enter the workforce now that the economy is so bad. Not only because the economy is bad, but because as a generation, they are kind of instinctively or temperamentally unprepared, is the word that the article by Dan Peck states, to enter the workforce because of this, you know, being all part of that self-entitled, everybody's going to, you know, get a trophy. It doesn't matter how well you perform, but everybody's going to come out ahead and that sort of thing. But it really talks about how all of that is going to play into a lifetime of not earning as much as other people in other generations, because they're not going to be as industrious. They're not going to be getting out there and willing to pound the pavement. I mean, a lot of them are still living with mom and dad, or they're having mom and dad fight their battles. And that kind of gets into, and I know I'm all over the place, but this was a really great article.
No, but it makes sense. It's a good thing they don't need work because there's none out there to be had.
Well, right. There's not any out there to be had. But even if there was work to be had, a lot of people or employers talk about just the challenges that they have with this generation of people, because they're not necessarily good at thinking critically. They're good at following a this list, do that, check this off, but not kind of the broader independence of just going after something and making it happen, because they often look to other people to sort it out for them. And that made me think about, I wonder if this generation is going to be more inclined to look to government to fix their problems, kind of like they're looking to mom and dad to take care
everyone
of.
Everyone wants government to fix their problems, but they love to scream they want smaller government. Everyone wants smaller government, but they don't realize what government is. It's Department of Children and Families. It's the fire department. It's the police department. It's your libraries. It's the Air Force, Marines, Navy. It's your civil defense. It's the FAA. It's the Federal Communications Commission that governs your TV and radio. But they all want smaller government. Most people who say they want smaller government have absolutely no flipping clue what the hell it even means. None whatsoever. It's their post office, for crying out loud. It's every single thing that we do that requires a large mechanism to do it usually involves government. And we say, it's always great when private industry gets involved. Yeah, we saw what happened with that over the last several years, didn't we? I'm not opposing private industry, but my little rant here is to kind of straighten out some on the right who love to scream about smaller government while expanding government, you know, monstrously. The recession of the past several years, if government didn't spend, I mean, this is the other mantra. If government did, that we're ballooning our deficits, if the government didn't spend and the people weren't spending, what do you think is going to happen? The economy was contracting last year at this time. The economy was contracting at a rate of 6% per year. We were losing 700,000 jobs a month last year this time. The stock market crashed last October. And when I mean crashed, I mean it lost 50% of its value in weeks. We were on the brink of an all-out depression. The credit markets completely seized. And what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that banks weren't getting loans from other banks. So they were failing. And I don't mean mom and pop bank down the street was failing. I mean Citibank was on the verge of failing. Bank of America was on the verge of failing. Washington Mutual went bye-bye overnight. Lehman Brothers evaporated in 12 hours. There was a run on the money market accounts in this country. Over $3 trillion in the course of several hours was being removed from our economy. But what we hear from the right is, oh, my God, the stimulus was horrible, and it's bad, and it's bad, 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 bad. It's all this, and it's deficits, deficits, deficits. Well, what the hell was their plan? I'm sorry, what was their plan? If we didn't bail out the banks, what were we going to do, just let it go? This is like, you know, the person who says, well, the pilot and co-pilot are dead. How dare you take the wheel? Well, you got to do something. Doing nothing is not an option. And so for me, what I get sick and tired of from the Republican Party is no, 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 everything was bad, when they don't have a single plan for anything other than to oppose what the current administration is doing. It drives me up the wall and back down again, whether it be health care or it be the economy or anything. And so what we see from the Democrats, unfortunately, is, frankly, and I apologize ahead of time to all my female listeners, a lack of balls. They don't have any. The Democrats sit there, and who do we have? We got Harry Reid sitting up there, who Harry Reid and Joe Lieberman, I can hardly tell the difference between them by the way they talk. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I need 60 votes to do anything. No, you don't. You don't need 60 votes, you moron. You need 50 plus one. Did you not get math in school? You don't need – when did this 60-vote nonsense start? You don't need it. You know, and then they go, well, we don't want to do – the Republicans will say, we don't want to do reconciliation because that's ramming it down our throats. Oh, you mean like the Republicans did 15 freaking times during the Bush administration on reconciliation? Why do you think the Bush-era tax cuts expire? because they were rammed through with reconciliation. And one of the nifty little tricks about reconciliation is if it's not deficit neutral, in other words, if it adds to the country's debt, then it automatically expires. That's why we're having the argument about the Bush tax cuts. I know. We ran over on the commercial, so we'll go to commercial and we'll come back in 2 minutes. I caught him flat-footed, didn't I? We did, didn't we?
I think so.
That's awesome. Hey, Seth, commercial, dude. Yo! Dude, commercial, go.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life, but it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for a people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect, but politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here.
Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger. www.getcommonsenseradio.com.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511. 530-413-4511.
I love having fun with our engineer, who one day is going to really screw us over by turning our mics hot in the middle of the commercials if I keep messing with him. I want to talk about this really fast. As you know, a couple weeks ago, we had a big show, I would say, just because of the amount of phone calls we got, which is really amazing. We don't get phone calls. I don't know why we bother giving out our phone number, because no one ever calls. But the one week we got a boatload of calls was when we were talking about the whole Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno fiasco. And there is news on Big Jaw Leno's front. And the news is that Kevin Eubanks is bailing on him. No one cares. Awesome.
No.
Love my crew here. No one cares. They're like, we don't give a rat's behind.
He wants be able to smoke some weed, sit back and relax.
Blah, 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 blah. I thought it was a good story. I thought it was a good little thing.
Well, I mean, the thing said that, I mean, he was going to be back on the show when it came back on March 1st, but I don't know how long he was going to stick with it. Hey, here's a question. Who should replace him? Who would be like the perfect band leader, kind of like the perfect cheer on SNL? Who would be the perfect band leader for the new Jay Leno?
I don't give a damn.
Well, you brought up the story?
I brought up the story because it's fun, because I think Jay Leno's a jackass. That's why. And so seeing something happen bad over it at Big Jaw Leno's studio is somehow nice to me. I get pleasure in other people's pain, all right? That's what that was all about. And I want that whole thing to come tumbling down. I want him to have 5 listeners. I want him to have 5 people watching a show, and I want him to be related to 4 of them. Because I cannot stand what happened after the whole Conan O'Brien. And you know what? I don't even know why.
What do you think about the Super Bowl ad and them saying that with Leno and Letterman and Oprah that they asked
Conan. I think Letterman
Conan,
sold out. I think Letterman sold out.
They asked Conan to be on there and he wouldn't do it.
Conan, it's not that Conan wouldn't do it. He can't do it.
He couldn't do the commercial?
He's contractually barred from being able to comment, talk, or do anything for 3 months. He can make no media appearances for three months.
What if he just sat, was sitting
That's
there?
That's a media appearance.
Oh.
Conan can't even come on our little piss-ass show.
Because I know he wants to. I've talked to him repeatedly about coming on the show, and he's so
can't
excited.
Because
he loves it when I ramble on about absolutely nothing and make no sense. You know, this is nonsense, and I'm like the nonsense part.
This is comedy gold here.
What's comedy gold was the last week of Conan O'Brien when he got the Bugatti Veyron mouse that about died.
I gave him that idea, by the way.
You gave him the idea of the Bugatti Veyron mouse? Well, he borrowed my car, you know.
Yeah.
Because this radio gig pays so much money that I can drive around the Bugatti Veyron disguised to look like a frickin' mouse.
Hey, meanwhile, I apparently can't afford cable TV to know that Barack Obama is black, so apparently that money isn't flowing toward me.
Well, I got some bad news for Barack. The jig is up, man. People are going to figure it out eventually. So, you know, it sucks to be him. But,
Apparently. No,
in all seriousness, I don't like the way things went down with the whole Conan O'Brien mess. I think that Jay Leno was a lying turd, and for him to sit there and act as if he had nothing to do with this, and I'm just along for the ride, you know, I'm not a contract guy. Yeah, Jay, because they don't have your $1 billion a year written down anywhere. No, they just did that in a shake of a hand. Because, you know, that's not why you have a hangar at Burbank Airport to hold all your multi-million dollars worth of cars.
Did you see his interview on Oprah?
Yeah, I thought it was garbage, and I thought that he was trying to talk. I personally thought it did himself more harm than good.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it was just, you know, he really came across. Even Oprah looked at him, and it was as if to say, you know, what the hell are you talking about, Jay? You know, when he made this stupid comment that walking away would have been the egotistical thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I personally, after my local news, I watch Nightline because I am infatuated with Martin Bashir, particularly with the satiny smoothness of his jackets and the way he coordinates his tie with his handkerchief in his pocket.
Well, on that note,
I love you, Martin Bashir! And then I watch Jimmy Kimmel, because I love Guillermo.
Should I like, hit Seth in the head with a pillow right now?
I don't know. Why?
Well, I'm going to hit Seth in the head with a pillow. Seth, roll the ending.
No, people want to hear more from me.
This has been Common Sense on behalf of Janie, Jency, Natalie, Chris, Mike, myself, and the entire Common Sense crew. Thank you for joining us. Common Sense airs live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, with the internet feed stream beginning 5 minutes earlier courtesy of BBS Radio. Episodes are available on demand via iTunes. For further information, visit the show's webpage at www.getcommonsenseradio.com. The Common Sense Radio Show would like to send a very special thank you to our engineer, Seth Hendrick, as well as our musical composer, Stephen Glossner. Until next week, stay safe, keep your head held high, and remember to always replace the spin with common sense. Take them home, Steve.